أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ومولانا أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد، اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد، وعلى أهل بيت الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين، لا سيما بقية الله في الأرضين، روحي وأرواح العالمين له الفداء. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي امري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقهوا قولي. Brothers and sisters, we are now going to be looking at verse number 9, Surah Maryam. So where are we in this story? We learned that Nabi Zakaria asked for a child. He made dua. We covered that up until now. Now we get a chance to see what God's response was. And God answered his prayer immediately. I want to share actually two verses of the Holy Quran, which kind of explain what happened during that time. And then after that, we'll look and see a little bit about what the Bible says at the same time. So we'll start off with a verse from Surah Maryam. It says, Ya Zakariya, inna nubashiruka bighulam, ismuhu Yahya, lam naj'al lahu min qablu samiyya. One of the things that we will discover, I'm going to translate the verse shortly, inshallah, is God's generosity. Keep in mind what Nabi Zakaria asked for and now what Allah grants him. Ya Zakaria, so O Zakaria, we bring you the good news of a boy whose name is Yahya. Truly we bring you the good news of a boy whose name is Yahya, and we have not given anyone this name before. There was no one named Yahya before this. The next verse is Surah 3, verse number 39. God describing the same incident says, فَنَادَتْهُ الْمَلَائِكَةُ. Later, inshallah, if Allah gives tawfiq, we're going to see where is the differences between the Quranic story and the biblical one. Anyhow, it says, فَنَادَتْهُ الْمَلَائِكَةُ. The malaika called out to him. وَهُوَ قَائِمٌ يُصَلِّي فِي الْمِحْرَابِ. He was in that house of worship. They've translated here as a sanctuary. He's in the house of worship, and the angels call out to him while he's standing in prayer. What do the angels say? أَنَّ اللَّهَ يُبَشِّرُكَ بِيَحْيَا. God gives you the good tidings of Yahya. Who is Yahya? The description now, the generosity of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Musaddiqan bikalimatim min Allah. The first thing about Yahya in this verse that's mentioned, and that is that he is musaddiq. He confirms a word from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The word of Allah is Isa. Isa comes later. He confirms the word of Allah. He's going to be a prophet who will confirm him and support him. What else? Wasayyida. This prophet, Yahya, is also a leader. We translate here as noble, but a leader, Sayyida. Wahusura. Husur, there's a difference amongst some ulama about the explanation of what husur means. But obviously it's in praise. Allama Tabatabai doesn't take the literal meaning, rather he takes the meaning with the context of the words. So he says that this is Nabi Yahya is someone who is detached from worldly pleasures. We'll put it in that way. There's some people who have the dunya and they're owned by the dunya. Their life revolves around enjoying themselves more. There's other people, from an Islamic perspective, we say there's nothing wrong with having the dunya, but you should own the dunya, not it own you. You're not attached to the dunya, that if, God forbid, it's taken away from you, then you lose your mind, you get upset. No. So not, he is zahid. We can translate it in this way, zahid. He's detached from the dunya and these worldly pleasures. وَنَبِيًّا مِنَ الصَّالِحِينَ. He's also a prophet, a nabi, one of the righteous. So if we look now to what the dua was for righteous progeny, but then the answer that God gave, God named him Yahya. More than that, nabi, one of the salihin, someone who's a natural leader. God's generosity versus the actual dua of our prophet. So one question that might come into mind, The first verse says, Ya Zakaria, inna nubashiruka. We give you good tidings. And this one said, فَنَادَتْهُ الْمَلَائِكَ. The malaika call out to him. So we know the verses don't conflict with one another. They give tafsir of one another. What happens? This is wahi from Allah, but it's revealed by the malaika. The malaika, the ones who deliver the message to him. So now a little bit about the biblical narrative. We're covering both sides, and there's a correction that I need to make. I mentioned in the other day that the dua is not mentioned in the Bible. The details we find in the Quran. The dua, the things that our Prophet asked, the things that he received, was a very important conversation. The part that I missed was this. There is indication that there was a dua. The way they tell the story is different. They say that we talk about his inspiration, that he came, he saw Maryam, right then and there he made dua, he starts asking, and then Allah grants his duas immediately. Them, no. Let's read a little bit about their, a little the relevant part from the Bible, from Luke. Then an angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing at the right side of the altar of incense. So in their story, he's a priest. It's different from the Quran. He's a priest. He's doing his duties as a priest, and now he's going over there, he's standing there by the altar, so an angel appears to him. You're going to see, inshallah, if Allah gives tawfiq, if I can discuss the other parts of the verses where we absolutely disagree with the biblical narrative. Anyhow, we're going over what they say. When Zakaria saw him, he was startled and gripped with fear. So, their story, he's frightened when he sees this angel. He's a priest, he's not a Nabi. He's frightened when he sees the angel, gripped with fear. The angel said to him, Do not be afraid, Zakaria. Your prayer has been heard. God's answered your prayer. So that's the part I miss. Because I said they didn't have mention of the prayer. Up until now, they haven't had mention of the prayer. But it says the prayer is heard. Different than our story where there is the prayer. That's the focus several times in the Quran. Right? Very different in the Bible. But you see that this a similar prayer that's being referred to. The Quran corrects these errors. Your wife, Elizabeth, will bear you a son. You are to call him John. So, John the Baptist, how they translate Yahya, John the Baptist. So again, naming from Allah, that part they got right. And it continues just a little bit. It says, He will be a joy and a delight to you. Many will rejoice because of his birth, for he will be great in the sight of his Lord. So a little bit about the Bible, the biblical narrative. Now, with us immediately, let's jump into the conclusions that we want to get from this verse, the inspiration that we want to get from this verse. I mentioned that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is generous. Allah is kareem. Allah gave him more than he even asked for. What we find from Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam, a lesson that we can get from this verse and in the words of Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam, is to pray for miracles, to have spiritual ambition. Don't just pray for little things or doable things. I like the phrase winnable wars. Sometimes when you want to do something, let's say it's a project. You look and you see, okay, well, can I take this project on? Am I capable of doing it? If I see, then the ground is steady, then I'll go over, I'll take it. It's a winnable war. What about in dua? Do I look, when I'm speaking to God, I say, well, this is something, you know, it's reasonable. Allah can, He can handle this for sure. Is that the approach we take to God? Or do we take the approach of go for broke? Ask God, everything is easy for God. Actually, we learn it's the second opinion. Let me show you the hadith, right? So, how do we learn this from the verse? Nabi Zakaria is so old, his bones are feeble. His wife couldn't have children when she was young. Now she's old. And still he says, Oh Allah, I've seen this wonderful child. I've never been unsuccessful. I want a child. Right? He went for broke. What about us? Now listen to the words. This is from Imam Muhammad al-Baqir alayhi salam. He says, "Inna tadarru' was-salah min Allah Ta'ala bi-makan." He says, begging God. This is the month of prayer, brothers and sisters, the month of prayer. Let's remember one another. Let's remember others. Remember those who don't have the opportunity to pray anymore. Once we're in the grave, we can't pray anymore. He says in the hadith that praying, and more than that, tadarru', begging Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, has such a position with God. He says, إِذَا كَانَ الْعَبْدُ سَاجِدًا لِلَّهِ. If the servant is in a state of sajda, sujood, prostrating to God, he says, for if your tears start to flow in this time, he says, فَهُنَالِكَ تَنْزِلُ الرَّحْمَةِ. If we're in that state of sajda, tears start to flow, then at that time is the time when mercy descends. He says to take advantage of asking Allah at that time. Then the other part that I was talking about, the spiritual ambition, he says, وَلَا تَسْتَكْثِرُ شَيْئًا مِمَّا تَطْلُبُونَ. After that, don't think that anything that you're asking for is too much. Don't consider it, no, that's not a winnable war for God. No, you go for broke. You ask. He says, فَمَا عِنْدَ اللَّهِ أَكْثَرْ مِمَّا تُقَدِّرُونَ. What's with God is greater than you can imagine. It's easy for God. You're there, you make your dua, let him, leave it in his hands. Let him answer that. Because there are some people who will experience that from God, and there's other people who have a limited ambition, even when it comes to dua. Even when it comes to their own spirituality. How much do I see myself elevating, changing, becoming more religious, practicing, getting close to God, being useful for the imam? Some people, they set the standard, the bar for themselves very low, and then they get less from God. I remember hearing a story once. They said that once a man came into the presence of the Holy Prophet, and he had been the host of the Holy Prophet. The Prophet had been his guest in a city called Ta'if. He comes years later, and now he sees the Prophet. He's announced his prophethood. Alhamdulillah, let me join. I did the Prophet a favor back in the day. I'm a Muslim. Let me go over and talk to the Prophet. So he goes into the presence of the Holy Prophet. He asks the Prophet, he says, do you remember me? I was your host in Ta'if. The Prophet tells him, marhaban bik, welcome, ahlan. He says, ask me for something. Spiritual ambition. Ask me for something. Salni. The guy thinks, he says, I want 80 sheep and I want some shepherds to take care of the sheep. They said after he did that, the Prophet put his head down for a little bit. Maybe the Prophet's a little disappointed. He told the brothers, Bismillah, go over, give him the sheep, alhamdulillah. Then after that, the Prophet said some words. Listen to the words of the hadith. It says, مَا كَانَ عَلَى هَذَا الرَّجُلْ أَنْ يَسْأَلَ سُؤَالَ عَجُوز بَنِي إِسْرَائِيلِ. He says, why couldn't this guy ask the question of the old woman of Bani Israel? So the Ashab, the companions, who is the old woman of Bani Israel? So the Prophet tells a story. I'm putting together several ahadith so you can get more of the context of what the story was like and then see what the Imam was telling you. When he said that tears flow, فَاغْتَنِمُوا, take advantage of that. What does that mean? What should we do? So if you remember our story from Musa and Fir'aun, the Bani Israel, the Muslims at that time, got the orders to run from Fir'aun. And they were running from Fir'aun. At one stage, the Quran says the two groups saw each other. So Fir'aun and his host chasing the mu'mineen running, and you're supposed to go to the ocean. Inshallah, the ocean will open up, and Allah will open the way for you. The ocean didn't open up. What happened? Oh, you have to bring the bones of Nabi Yusuf with you. So Musa started to ask around quickly, who knows where Yusuf is buried? Think of this. We're running from Fir'aun. You're going to the sea. You can't get away. Fir'aun chasing you, people panicking, and now you have to find the bones of Nabi Yusuf. So where is he buried? So there was one old guy. He said, if anybody knows, it's this one old lady, Ajuz, this one old lady, she knows. So Musa went to tell her to come here. He asked her, he said, do you know where the bones of Nabi Yusuf are buried? Where Nabi Yusuf buried? She said, yes, I know. Of course, I do. He said, alhamdulillah, tell me, walakil jannah, and I'll give you paradise. You just tell me where the bones are. She said, no, it's not that easy. She said, I have conditions. You have to let me decide what I get. He said, no, just tell me where he's, tell me where he is. I mean, we've got things to do, Fir'aun. She said, no, wallah, no, only unless you let me decide. God gave wahi to Musa. I'm translating, I have the Arabic. No, I didn't bring the Arabic with me of that particular thing. Basically, God said, no biggie. Okay, it's no biggie. Let her ask, right? Everything's easy for God. So what did she say now, this mu'mina? She said, "Ahkumu alayk." I'm going to tell you where it is, but I've told you I have conditions. My condition is this: an akuna ma'aka fi darajatika allati takunu fi. I want to be with you in your rank in paradise. You're one of the ulul azm prophets. Now I've got you over a barrel. Now it's my chance. So then the prophet, he's telling us the story for a reason. What do we learn from the imam? He says, what was the problem of this person? How come they didn't ask me to be with me in paradise? If the prophet of God asked me. So now for all of us, one time we just read the story because it's history. Another time, this is the month of Ramadan. The month's not over. Our du'as are answered in this month. What do we want from God? We're his guests. He's calling us. This is the month. Let's pray for one another, inshallah, in this month. So now, for instance, right? Especially sometimes what happens, this happens to me, maybe it happens to some of you. Sometimes we've been dealing with a certain problem for a long time. We haven't gotten the answer. Let's say we made dua, we asked, we tried to get God to help us. We went different routes that we could do, but up until now we haven't received the answer. How should I feel? Can I continue to pray with hope? My relationship, let's say with my spouse, is not as good as I want it to be. My health, for instance. My spirituality, more important, my relationship with God, with the Imam. The people who think good of God get more from God. We have hadith, several ahadith, that tell us that God deals with believers based on their expectation. The reason some of us, if we go and we see, how come I never turned out to be like Ayatollah Behjat? Right? Let's say if we could ask Ayatollah Behjat, Ridwan Allah Ta'ala alayhi, how much hope did he have? Well, he would tell, it's all from God. How much hope did he have? Effort, of course, but expectation, hoping, pleading. So we don't want to, I guess the conclusion, brothers and sisters, is this, that we don't want to be an obstacle to receiving God's goodness. That Allah had a lot of khair that he wanted to give me, but it was me. I couldn't believe that much. I couldn't trust that much. I couldn't hope that much. We actually have a hadith about that. One of them, this is our imam, he's talking to a man named Muyassir. He says, Ya Muyassir, ud'u. Muyassir, call on Allah. وَلَا تَقُلْ إِنَّ الْأَمْرَ قَلْ فُرِغَ مِنْ. He said, never say that it's over. Even God can't fix it. Never say that it's over. You make your dua, you do your part. He continues in this hadith, he says, إِنَّ عَنْدَ اللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلْ مَنْزِلَةً. Allah has a station with him. There's a certain spiritual station. لَا تُنَالْ إِلَّا بِمَسْأَلَةً. This spiritual station, this maqam, only you can get there by making dua, mas'ala. Those people who beg, Allah is the opposite of human beings. Human beings don't like it if you keep insisting. You ask somebody, can you lend me $500? No, I don't have the money. Come back again, the same person, can you give me $500? The next day, well, shut the door in your face and not answer your phone, I get irritated. God's the opposite. He likes ilha. Keep begging, keep asking, keep hoping. Let's read the dua. He says, if the servant, now this is from the imam, if the servant closes their mouth, he or she, they don't ask, they close their mouth. Lam yu'ta shay'a. This person won't be given anything. The only way for this person to get what they need is begging. He says, Ya muyassir, innahu laysa min babin. He said, it's never the case. Remember, in our hadith, it says Allah is shy. You keep asking and Allah gives you nothing? Allah is kareem. Allah says, if you keep begging on that door, you keep knocking. He says, لَيْسَ مِنْ بَابٍ يُقْرَعْ إِلَّا أَنْ يُشِكْ أَنْ يُفْتَحْ لِصَاحِبِهِ. Keep knocking, keep knocking, keep knocking. God opens that door. The door is close to getting open. We just have to keep begging and hoping and asking. So we know that Allah, let's see again how God describes himself to us in the Holy Quran. When we want to introduce God to our children, to ourselves, remind us of what we do know about God, nothing like the Quran. What does the Quran say when it comes to us in our dua, for instance? It says, Surah 3, verse number 38, إِنَّكَ سَمِيعُ الدُّعَى. You hear the prayers. Allah hears the prayers. Allah cares about the believers. Allah wants to give them what's best. Allah understands what we really need. Sometimes you might do an action for a human being. You intend one thing, they think something else. They misunderstand you even. I remember a story once that once there was these brothers. They were successful, they did well. And they each decided to buy their mother a gift. So one of them, he said, I bought mom, it's her 95th birthday. I bought mom a house with 5 rooms. I bought mom a Mercedes Benz. I bought mom a stereo, not a theater, a home theater. And one of the brothers said that, no, I didn't buy any of those. You know how mom likes to read the Bible? But mom can't see very well. She's 95 years old, so I bought her a parrot. This parrot knows the Bible by heart. It took 8 priests, 10 years to teach this parrot how to recite the Bible by heart. I had to commit each year for 5 years, $50,000 in order for them to give me this parrot. So then mom writes thank you notes. So she says, thank you for the car, but I don't drive anymore. And the guy you sent to drive me here and there, he's irritating, but thank you anyway. She said, that house you sent me out, you got built me the house that's got five rooms in it, but I just stay by myself. She said, the theater, that was wonderful also. God bless you for that. But my friends have all died. I don't see it. I hardly blind myself. She said, but Melvin, you had the most sense. The chicken you sent was excellent. Right? So sometimes what happens, people won't understand, but God does. God does understand. God gives us what we know. Now, the thing with us is not to lose hope when our du'as aren't answered immediately. God is wise. Sometimes there's certain experiences we have to go through. Certain people whose lives we have to touch, or people have to come into our lives. God has a system, and he's perfectly orchestrating everything. He knows when is the right time for everything. I mentioned this dua that the malaika came immediately. The answer came, he was still in the mihrab, qa'iman yusalli, and then he gets the answer from God. The imam tells us, this is from Imam Muhammad al-Baqir alayhi salam. He tells us the actual birth of Yahya came 5 years later. So the answer was immediate, but the answer as in the birth of Yahya happened 5 years later. Should we lose hope if it takes a while for our prayers to be answered? Islam teaches us no. We keep praying, we keep hoping, we keep trusting, knowing that God knows what's best for us, and we still remain hopeful. The part that's challenging is to remain hopeful and every day to keep expecting the prayer to be answered, to be living with that much hope. Because that's the instructions that we find from Ahlul Bayt, alayhimus salam, is always expecting, they say, intidharul faraj. Expecting delivery, expecting prayers to be answered, God to turn things around. The difficult part is that, to keep maintaining that hope. So the imam tells us this is from Amir al-Mu'mineen. There's advice from the imam to his son in Nahj al-Balagha. If we look in the letter number 33, there's advice from the imam. And one of the advice that the imam gives his, amongst some of the ulama, they say this is a letter for youth. Don't only think of it as one imam writing a letter to his son, but as a letter for youth. One of the things the imam teaches us about is the idea of waiting and not becoming hopeless when du'as aren't answered immediately. It's true, sometimes du'as aren't answered immediately. What happens? The imam says, the delay in having your prayers answered should not make you lose hope. For surely the gift is based on the intention. And maybe answering the prayer, maybe the reason it's delayed is in order that the reward be greater. Sometimes, if we think of, instead of thinking of, all I want to do is I want to get that, whatever it is, that hajjah that I have from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I'm not really looking for that relationship with God. Right? I came, and I wanted something, and that's all I want. Like a chicken. You can never really become friends with a chicken. I don't know if you guys have ever seen that. You throw some things, the chicken goes over, it eats it, and runs away. There's no real relationship, right? What about this? If for me, second is getting the hajjah, before that, Allah's given me permission to talk to Him. I want a relationship with Him. I enjoy crying and talking to God. I enjoy reciting dua. I do it, the opportunity. So he says that sometimes he delays it, the reward is greater. Me having a real relationship with God, experiencing some of these things, seeing how God came through for me, that's important. And he says, and he also mentions that point about generosity and more generous for the hopeful one. So the idea, instead of us panicking when we lose, if it doesn't happen immediately, no, sometimes you just have to wait your turn. I remember hearing a story, they said that once a guy came out of a store and he sees that there's a hearse. No, he sees a man walking with a dog. And then he sees, so a hearse, a second hearse, a man walking with a dog, and 200 men walking behind them. So he goes over to the guy and he says, what happened? He said, what's the funeral for? He said, it's my wife. He said, what happened? He said, she attacked me, started screaming at me. My dog attacked her and he killed her. He said, inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. He says, who's in the second hearse? He said, it's my mother-in-law. She saw my wife, she tried to help, and then the dog attacked her also. Then he looked at him. He said, can I borrow your dog? And the guy said, you have to wait your turn. There's 200 people. Okay? Sometimes you have to wait your turn. It's the timing is not right. It's not that God gives the answer to prayers immediately. Sometimes God waits and sees when is the appropriate time. Then once the time is appropriate, then God answers it. Because God's orchestrating our affairs, remember that not only are we interacting with God, how many other servants does God have interacting with Him? How many other people need to go through experiences? Sometimes, brothers and sisters, my heart needs to be broken when I'm talking to somebody else to feel for somebody. Sometimes you can't feel for somebody unless you've gone through the musibah yourself. But if your heart's been broken, sometimes the state that you're in, that state was something somebody else had to see. They had to see somebody who was also sad. For instance, right? So we don't want it. God's wise. He knows exactly when He gives us when it's right for us. And God's decree is always good. Again, how Allah introduces Himself in the Quran. He says, Surah 57, verse number 9, He says, وَإِنَّ اللَّهَ بِكُمْ لَرَؤُوفُ الرَّحِيمُ. Surely Allah is most kind and merciful to you. Brothers and sisters, this is also true if we're struggling in the religion. Even for sinners, Allah is merciful. Allah cares. I want to give you a story first from Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam, then we'll go to God, because God is Arhamur Rahimeen. Once, a man named Mu'alla says that I saw the Imam come out of his house and he was carrying something, it drops. What drops? It's a bag, it's bread in it. The Imam goes, he starts going to get the bread. I come forward. Imagine you saw Imam Mahdi, he dropped something. What would you do? After that, they get the bread, they put it in the bag. He asks the Imam, he says, can I carry this? The Imam says, no, you can't. He says, well, come with me. They walk with the Imam. They go to an area and these people are sleeping. The Imam goes and he takes one of those breads, two pieces of bread, and he gives it to each one of these sleeping people. How much does the Imam care about us? How much does the Imam care about each and every one of us? After that, I told the Imam, I said, they're not Shia. Not only Muslims, they're not Shia even. The Imam said, no, if they were Shia, I would have given them salt also. Right? So the care that the Imam has for everybody, especially his followers. Now, the thing is, that was Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam. Now the God of Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam, who is he and how is he to us? You see, when we look in a hadith of Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam, we learn that we are God's favorite creatures. Allah is merciful to all, but His favorite creatures are the believers. What is the hadith says? This is now from Musa. It says, Ya Musa. So God speaking to Musa, He says, Ma khalaqtu khalqan ahabba ilayya min abdi al-mu'min. I have not created any creature more beloved to me than my believing servant. Ahabba ilayya. Then God says though, right? Just because you're beloved to me doesn't mean I'll always give you what you want when you want it. I do what's best for you. I think about what's in your interest, I do what's best for you. Listen to the words of the hadith. He says, وَإِنِّي إِنَّمَا أَبْتَلِيهِ لِمَا هُوَ خَيْرٌ لَهُ. I give this believer whatever is good for them. We have a hadith. Imam Khomeini talks about, may Allah have mercy on his soul. He talks about this in the 40 hadith. There's a hadith that say that some servants, they need to be poor to maintain their faith. And God keeps them poor. Other people, if they were rich, if they were poor, for instance, they would lose their faith. God knows the dunya is not important, but this person, they're not made for that. They're not able. God keeps them wealthy. You may have seen this. Sometimes somebody's going through life, right? God's looking out what's in the interest of the believer. Let's look at now the hadith though. See what God says. He says, I give him وَأُعْطِيهِ لَمَا هُوَ خَيْرٌ لَهُ. I give him what's best for him. I keep away from this servant, he or she, what's best for them. And I know وَأَنَا أَعْلَمُ بِمَا يَصْلَحُ عَلَيْهِ عَبْدِي. I know best what's there for my servant. So if that's the case, if I have a loving God who cares for me, who looks out for me, then after that, what does the hadith say? It says, فَلْيَصْبِرْ عَلَىٰ بَلَائِي. So the believer is supposed to be patient when it comes to balaven. God's the one who's arranging this, who's looking out for, who's helping me, and who's assisting me. Sometimes even there's sickness. And again, this doesn't mean don't pray for that recovery. Doesn't mean don't try and change the situation. Let's say I'm looking for a job. I've applied. I'm looking. I haven't found it yet. I keep trying. I make dua. But I can rest assured God's watching. I'm not going through this by myself. It's me and God. Once, one of the companions said, I saw the imam. The story I'm telling you about is Imam Sadiq. And the imam was so sick. Imagine that. Let's say Allah gives you tawfiq. Inshallah, it will happen to us. Hopefully, we can be that generation. Let's say you get a chance to see Imam Mahdi. How happy will you be? I know somebody. This person, they weren't as practicing, and then they became practicing. How did you happen? What happened to you, brother? He said, once I had a dream. In my dream, I had a kiss from Imam Mahdi. My life changed after that. From the dream, what it would be like to see Imam Mahdi if he was here, if we could see him, we could sit with him. So this individual, he says that, I go to see my imam and my imam is very sick. He says, when I saw my imam and he's suffering, I started to cry. Right? Imagine you seeing Imam Mahdi and now Imam Mahdi is sick. So Imam Sadiq was sick. Then the imam told him these words. He says, إِنَّ الْمُؤْمِنِ لَوْ أَصْبَحَ لَهُ مَا بَيْنَ الْمَشْرِقِ وَالْمَغْرِبِ كَانَ ذَلِكَ خَيْرًا لَهُ. He says, if the mu'min wakes up and in the morning they find that they own the east and the west, everything is good, this is actually what's good for the mu'min. He says, and if the mu'min, their limbs are severed, sometimes people go through difficulties and tragedies. He says, this is what's best for the mu'min. He says, يَا فُضَيْل, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَفْعَلُ بِالْمُؤْمِنِ إِلَّا مَا هُوَ خَيْرٌ لَهُ. God only does what's good for the believer. So man-made errors, we try and avoid. Even situations, we have situations where Ahlul Bayt, alayhi wasalam, their children will be sick, for instance. Right? The Ahlul Bayt will go to the doctor, make the effort, right? But internally, I know God's looking out for me. If it's not a man-made error, it's not my problem, me doing this to myself, then I can rest assured that God is there. As he says in the verse, he says, إِنَّكَ سَمِيعُ الدُّعَى, as I mentioned. So God is that, I'll give you the example of a parent. Parents love their children. أَوْلَادُنَا أَكْبَادُنَا. Parents love their children. They see their suffering as them. When it came to our Prophet, he's described in the Quran, it says, when we would suffer, the Prophet suffers. And we have hadith from Ahlul Bayt. They say, when you fall sick, we fall sick. You get sad, you're depressed, we feel it for you. The love of Ahlul Bayt, alayhim wassalam. So the God now of Ahlul Bayt. The God of Ahlul Bayt, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, how merciful is he to the believer? But he also sees what's best for the believer. What should I give this person right now? What do they need? How can I help them get what they really need? This is the part, inshallah, that we want to focus on. So, for instance, let's say you had a small child. Me, I have a small child, for instance. Let's say I have a small child, and that child wants to take a fork and plug it into the socket. And they're screaming, and they're jumping. I have to put it in the socket. No matter how much they jump, no matter how much they scream, parents say, I love you, but no, that's not good. I have to look out for your long-term interests, what's really good for the person. That's really good. So what happens is, I want to share some hadith about, so sometimes God delays prayer. We understood that. 5 years for our prophet. Sometimes we have an hadith, God, instead of answering your prayer, he wards off bala. This, maybe we can look this up later in Sahifa Sajjadiyya, where we find out that we should be more grateful for what Allah didn't give us than we are for what he did. There's a lot of things that could have happened to us, difficulties we could have faced, and God looking out for us, checking, making sure that we're safe, keeping us safe. Sometimes those du'as, you ask for one thing, but God says, no, what this brother or sister, what this mu'min or mu'mina really needs is that I ward off a certain bala and I'll take care of that for them. But sometimes it's that God says, what I'm going to do is answer your prayer in the hereafter. I'm not going to answer it here. I'll delay it and he'll answer it over there. Because hadith say that God is kind, God is shy. God doesn't see you raise your hand and God gives you nothing. He always answers. But sometimes he answers it in the hereafter. Brothers and sisters, there's only one set. And if I hadn't seen this hadith quoted by a senior alim, I don't think I would be bold enough to quote it. Right? But this was quoted, the hadith is a book, a wonderful book written by one of our senior urafa who passed, marhum Ayatullah Sa'adat Parvar. Over there he quotes more than one hadith from the imam where God actually apologizes to one group of believers. There's one group of believers to whom God apologized for. I'll bring you the actual hadith. Right? Only one group of believers. So this one is from Imam Sadiq salamullahi alayhi. He says, Inna Allah Azza wa Jal laya'tadhir ila 'abd, that God actually apologizes to the poor believer. Let's say there's somebody who goes through life poor. They don't get the riches, the wealth, and these things. On the day of judgment, the person who is poor, it says, كَمَا يَعْتَذَرَ الْأَخْ إِلَىٰ أَخِيهِ. The same way that one brother comes over and then after that apologizes to the other, God does this for the believer. Then he says these words, لَا وَعِزَّتِي وَجَلَالِي. He says, I swear by my honor and my majesty, God speaking. He says, مَا أَفْقَرْتُكَ لِهَوَانٍ. I didn't keep you poor because you were insignificant and unimportant, lihawan and kana bika alayya, that you were just unimportant to me. He says, take off the veil, the khita, take off the veil. He says, fandur ila ma awadtuka min ad-dunya. I didn't answer your prayers in the dunya. I didn't give you what you wanted over there. Now on the day of judgment, take off the veil. Look and see what I've given you instead of your dua, instead of the riches and the wealth that you had. For yukshaf, after that, the ghita is taken away. Fayandur ma awadahu Allah azza wa jal min ad-dunya. The believer on that day will look and see what is it that God gave them instead of what they wanted. I wanted wealth, I wanted a car, I wanted this. What did God give me? What did God save for me? That person at that stage, they will speak to God and say, Ma dharrani ya Rabb, that oh God, what you held away from me, that didn't hurt me. Ma ma awadtani, what you gave me instead is so much better. If I could have done it myself, I couldn't have chosen better. We ask Allah by the right of Muhammad wa al-Muhammad to accept our worship and ibadah in this month and make us the best of the believers and true soldiers of the Imam of the time. Sallu ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.